Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Well, climate change and the Paris Climate Accords have gotten a lot of play at the UN General Assembly this week, but our next guest was at the General Assembly too, and he says we don't have our priorities straight when it comes to dealing with climate change on the global stage.
Look, global warming is a real problem, but because we tend to get over-worried about specific areas, we end up under-investing in where we can actually help, and we end up spending money on things that'll do virtually no good neither for climate or for all the other troubles that we're focused on.
That's Bjorn Lomborg, the controversial president of the Copenhagen Consensus Center.
Certainly, much of the news that I see, and certainly if you look at a lot of sort of the easy news, it's either, oh, no, it's not happening at all, or we should do something about global warming and, you know, Harvey or anything else. If you remember that famous cover from Bloomberg after Sandy, it's global warming, stupid. And it suggests that that is what we should do. You know, cutting carbon emissions is the way to help future victims of Sandy and Irma. And the honest answer is, if you want to help these people, it's much more about building resilient structures.
Lomborg is president of the Copenhagen Consensus Center. It's a think tank that focuses on development aid. And in the world of climate change, Lomborg is controversial. Lomborg is the author of several books, including The Skeptical Environmentalist. He says climate change is real and a threat, but he argues that people are losing their perspective on what can and should be done about it.
The biggest conversation that we have right now is hurricanes, right? And for a very obvious reason, there are lots in the season. And so the long-term prediction from climate change is that we will see slightly stronger, possibly slightly fewer hurricanes. And therefore, there is a real concern that we'll probably see higher impacts in total. But the argument then to say, oh, so we should cut CO2 to help future victims of Harveys and Irmas and all the other names is a very bad one, because we know what is really causing most of the damage is the fact that we don't have good zoning, that we subsidize insurance to have people build irresponsibly. We don't have good levees. We don't have good plains where you can get rid of the water fast. There are many, many simple things that you can do that would do much, much more good. So again, my point is not that climate change is not a real issue, but it is to say let's focus on the things that will actually help. And specifically for hurricanes, there's much, much better policies that also are much cheaper and will act much faster.
I don't know. I've seen a lot of people on other news shows, and people have come on this show talking about wildfires in the West, right? Mm-hmm. Something that's much more attributable to temperature increases, hotter, longer fire season, hotter fires, more damage. And most of those people talk about the way we build and the way we do forest policy. They don't necessarily say CO2 equals fire, but it is all part of a piece, isn't it?
Look, that's wonderful. Because then, you know, we're all on the same wavelength. But then, of course, we get back to saying, so what should we do about global warming in general?
Right.
And there my concern is, you know, if you look at pretty much anyone who talks about climate change, they'll go to, you know, the grand promises from the Paris Agreement or the precursor for that, the Kyoto Agreement. These are the things that are being sold as if they're going to solve climate change, or at least are a significant piece of the puzzle. But the reality is Kyoto ended up doing virtually zero. Paris Agreement, if everyone does everything they promise, it will cut about 1% of what we need to cut by 2030 to get to 2 degrees target. So it effectively leaves 99% of the problem unaddressed and at a fairly high cost. So we're talking $1 to $2 trillion in global GDP loss. So that's a lot of money to solve almost none of the problem. And that's why I'm arguing again, let's focus on smart solutions, namely invest dramatically more in research and development into green energy. If we can get green energy to be cheaper than fossil fuels, everyone will switch. If we can't, we'll probably never fix this problem.
Why are they two separate things, though? I mean, one of the virtues among those who support Paris is that you put the rules into the game. The United States and China within Paris agree to 26% cuts. Isn't that the way that the Bill Gateses and the Bjorn Lombergs of the world then come along and say, I have the way that we can get to big carbon cuts? We can invest more in clean energy. One is the rules of the game, and one is the equipment you use.
Well, it would be nice if that was the case, but I actually think if you look at it, these measures have never really driven anything. They do drive something in the EU, but they only drive essential subsidies and often very inefficient subsidies. The fundamental point is you're not going to drive a dramatic innovation by saying, well, we promised 26%, so we better get our gear together and put our thinking hats. If you want innovation, you should fund innovation. And if innovation comes, and there's no reason to believe that we're not smart enough to actually figure this out, then we don't need the targets. So the targets are much, much less effective. I'm not going to say they're zero, but they're very close to zero impact.
Now, let's talk about the real world, though, and about politics when it interacts with climate change. I watched you testify against the Paris Climate Accords in the House of Representatives a year or two ago. And there's no question about it that your testimony and your argument on these issues is used by political forces as an argument for doing nothing, or at least a go-slow approach, or at least an unnuanced view that little or no action is appropriate here. That's the real world, Bjorn Lomborg. You know that you're used that way.
Oh, I'm in no doubt that if you make an argument where you say, look, the current way we do things is stupid, let's do it smarter, the people who just don't want to do anything will just listen to the first part. And what are you going to do? I mean, it's still true to say that's a very poor use of resources, and we need to listen to that. Just like many other people who wants us to do action would be saying, oh, even Bjorn Lomborg says we should do something. We should do these smart things on R&D and so on. So the fundamental point is, if I tell the whole truth, I'm not really responsible for the fact that some people just don't want to do anything.
I hate to call it alarmism, but without the urgency and without targets of some kind, where's the motivation then for the massive investments? Even if the Bill Gateses of the world say there's an economic argument here, there might be a disconnect between the type of urgency that the climate change story brings and the need for Bill Gateses and Warren Buffetts and governments to say, we're going to invest.
Well, I love that question. And it allows me also to take one more step back, because remember, climate change is not the only issue that the world is facing. Actually, there are tons of different issues that the world is facing. And if we weren't sitting in a well-nourished part of the world, we would be worrying about our kids dying from easily curable infectious diseases and not getting education, not even having enough food.
Right. Except, and, as you know, climate change can be easily connected to food, certainly to jobs, certainly to water, no question. Education, maybe you can make an argument.
Look, there's no doubt that you can couple climate to these issues, but of course you can also go the other way and say if you're better educated, if you have jobs, if you're not hungry, you're going to be much less vulnerable to climate and to everything else. The solutions to those problems are also much cheaper and much more effective. The OECD is now making estimates. We spent about $140 billion in development aid for the world, and that's a good, you know, not all of it goes well and all that stuff, but, you know, fundamentally it's a good indicator of how we care about the rest of the world. The OECD tracks how much of that goes to climate. It used to be zero, but now about a quarter of all development aid goes to climate projects. And that's basically because we are so focused on saying we want to help the world with climate that we forget that the rest of the world is very clearly telling, no, please actually save my child.
Bjorn Lomborg is president of the Copenhagen Consensus Center. Great to have you here.
Good to be here.